thankful for an opportunity that we have that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. It's an opportunity that God did not have to bless us with today, but He did. And we ought to be thankful for it. And we know and realize that when life does come to an end, that there are better things, as Mark prayed in his prayer, better things to await the faithful of God. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. And I know that as God's people, we long for that. We know that regardless of what this life gives, that it doesn't compare to that which is laid up in heaven for the faithful of God. So I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate another opportunity to again stand before you. If you have questions about what I say, don't hesitate to ask. If you ask me a Bible question, I don't know the answer. I'll just simply say, I don't know. There's a lot that I don't know about the Bible, and I'll readily admit that. And if I know the answer, then I'll give you book, chapter, and verse for what you ask. I can't think of a better way to handle it than just to give you what the Bible says if I know what the Bible says about it. Well, here we are this Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people make a lot of plans for Memorial Day weekend and other holidays, and I hope that in all the plan making that we don't forget about God. A lot of people are on the roads. You've probably been out and about and saw that there's a lot of people traveling. A lot of people headed to the gas stations to fuel their tank up to get ready to go out of town and be busy about going and doing various different activities, visiting family and doing other things. I thought it was interesting that one source that I read, that AAA estimates that 39.2 million people will travel a distance of at least over 50 miles over the next few days. Can you imagine that? 39.2 million people out on highways. Very dangerous time. And all of us need to be thinking about that and be mindful of our driving as we are driving with so many people on the highway so that we can get to our destinations safely. Memorial Day weekend, it's a time when a lot of people take an opportunity for a little while, for at least a day, to reflect upon the memory of those that have given their lives in service to our country. That have really made what we are blessed to be able to do at a time like this, on a beautiful Lord's Day, to assemble together in a fashion like this, to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth without having to fear what the authorities are going to do. Or maybe having it outlawed. And a lot of men and women have given their lives to make that possible. And we ought to be grateful that people made such a sacrifice as that. But while our minds are thinking about Memorial Day and the many sacrifices that folks in the military and first responders and different people have made, I want us to think about some divine memorials that are set before us in the Bible. We're not going to talk about all of them. Hundreds of times you read about memory, memorial, remember, remembering, remembereth, remember, and so forth throughout the Bible. A lot of memorials are set forth before us in the sacred volume of God. I just want us to think about a few of them. If you've got an outline, you'll have at least 12. And you could just continue to add to this list of things that are set before us as events that were to be remembered. And so I want us to think about them. Man has a tendency to forget. I appreciate the good job that was done in the scripture reading. God had told Israel, when I give you this promised land, and you began to live in houses that you didn't build, and you began to eat of vineyards that you didn't plant, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Man has a tendency to get complacent, to get satisfied, and then to begin to forget God, to be indifferent, and not keep on doing the things that God would have us to do. So lest we forget, let's think about Bible memorials. The first one that I want you to think about is, and a lot of these are ones that you've read about, no doubt. You may have read about all of these if you've read in the Bible, you have. But again, we have a tendency to forget. In Genesis chapter 6, because the wickedness, the imagination of man's heart was only wicked continually, God brought about a global flood. It was not a localized flood, by the way. A lot of people think that the flood in Noah's time was just a localized flood. I've got a very good book, a very thick book, that sets forth the argument for a global flood of Noah. And we still have localized flooding. But the flood of which we read about beginning in Genesis chapter 6 was not localized, but the flood that we read about there was a global one. And God said, made the promise, made the covenant that never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. Well, we still have localized flooding, so that says before our minds the Bible fact that this flood was a global flood. And I hope that we all appreciate that. But God had instructed Noah, who had found grace in the eyes of God, Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 8, to build an ark, to which Noah did. Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, Hebrews chapter 11. And in Genesis chapter 9, when the flood was over and so forth, notice what God said. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, Genesis 9 and in verse 8, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. You've seen a rainbow, right? I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Now watch this, verse 15. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more destroy the earth, shall no more become a flood, rather, to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Were you aware of the fact that the Bible sets forth that God has done some remembering? I put my bow in the cloud. Someone says, well, that doesn't mean God ever forgot. God knows all things. Well, yes, God knows all things. But He's saying in the text that He put His bow in the cloud, and when the bow is seen, I will remember the covenant that I make with you, that I'm not going to destroy it, and all man, that I will not destroy the earth with a flood anymore. And so when it rains and you see a beautiful bow in the cloud, don't do as some do. Don't be tempted to hijack it, wave it around as a flag, as their token of their sin before God. But you remember the covenant that God made, Genesis chapter 9. But also, I think about what the Bible talks about in the book of Genesis chapter 19. We read about a place that was wicked. You remember when the strife arose between Abraham's herdmen and Lot's herdmen because there was so much cattle that there was not enough land to suit all of them. You remember the attitude of Abraham, who told Lot, you just pick what you want. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Let there be no strife between us and your brethren. There's a good attitude that is displayed for us in the Old Testament between Abraham and his family, his kinsmen. The Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Be careful, young and old, where you pitch your tent in life's way. Be careful about where you decide to settle down. And that makes a good sermon, pitching tents today. But nonetheless, Sodom was an evil place. And as a result of them being evil, God said, I'm going to destroy them. But He spared righteous Lot, who vexed his soul from day to day, who's righteous before God. And God spared him. Remember, as Abraham tried to reason with God, Lord, if you find 50 people, you're not spared. If I find 50, the Lord said, then I'll spare it. It gets all the way down to 10. If I find 10, I'll spare it. Not even that many could be found in the city of Sodom. But God spared Lot and his wife, his family. But in Genesis chapter 19, we were told that one of the things that they were instructed, you escape, you go, but you don't look back. And guess what his wife did? If you're familiar with it, the text says that she looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. Not a pillow of salt, as some movies portray it, but a pillar a column. It's a pillar of salt. As a result of doing what God said not to do. I think I've preached it here before. Sometimes we get so we read the account of Sodom with tunnel vision. And we think about the wicked sin of homosexuality, and that's true, that's what was going on, but they had other problems than just that problem. And I brought forth a lesson here several years ago on the other sins of Sodom. It wasn't just man with man and so and homosexuality, that was one of the problems, but it wasn't the only problem. And Sodom was not the only place that was destroyed. There was other cities of the plain that was destroyed during this time. But the very simple statement is made as you think about what took place with Lot's wife. The very simple statement that is made over in the book of Luke. You've read this, no doubt, when the Lord said, as recorded in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17 and in verse 32, three words. Three words make up this verse. Remember Lot's wife. As we think about divine memorials and things that are worthy of and note of being remembered, and there are many of them, remember Lot's wife. Why remember Lot's wife? When God says to do something or not do something, you do as God prescribed. I guarantee you there's a penalty to be paid. And sometimes you'll pay a penalty as a result of sin in this life, because of sin and the result of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we need not think that we'll escape the judgment of God. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of God and give Christ and give an account of the things that we have done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. But then as you think about divine memorials, I think about another one found in the book of Genesis. Exodus chapter 12. Did you ever know why the Passover was given? And we read about the Passover. We just observed the Lord's Supper. And it was during the observance of the Passover, Matthew chapter 26, that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. Sometimes, if I were to ask you, is it referred to in the Bible as the Lord's Supper? What would you say? It is, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you come together, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It's referred to as breaking of bread, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Sometimes we refer to it as communion. Is it referred to as communion in the Bible? If not, it's better to cut it out, referring to it as such. But it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is not the bread which we break, the communion of the body of Christ, and is not the cup which we bless, the communion of the blood of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But why the Passover? Why was it given? Well, in the context of giving it, you remember the plagues of Egypt. And here it was that God had told the children of Israel, you take blood and you put it on the post and on the lintel, and when I pass by, I'll see it and I'll pass over. And God had told them that they were to remember that event, hence the Passover. It's called the Passover because of them passing over during this plague. But you see in Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 11, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded. And this is after he had told them how to observe it and what they were to eat, and the fact that they were not to have any leaven, they were to have unleavened bread. Exodus 12 and in verse 8. That's how we know that, by the way, in observance of the Lord's Supper, that we have unleavened bread. Because in Matthew 26, when they were observing the Lord's Supper, it was unleavened bread. And you see that from Exodus chapter 20. But he says in verse 11, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You need to underscore in your Bible all these statements. I will see it. I will pass over. And when folks suggest that the Bible says the death angel is going to come, we need to be ready when the death angel comes. You're not going to find that in Exodus chapter 12, as I've heard people try to do. It didn't say when the death angel comes. No, God said when I see it, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now watch this. Verse 14, as we think about divine memorials. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now don't miss the point. He's talking to Old Testament Jewish people to whom he's going to give the law in Exodus chapter 20 for the Israelites and so forth. We don't observe the Passover today, but if we were Old Testament Jews living before the cross, we'd be duty bound to observe the Passover. But I want you to see the point. Here's another example of the divine memorial. A lot of them in the Bible. But also, when you think about Bible memorials or divine memorials, I think about Joshua chapter 4. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this because I gave this to you over and over and over for 12 months last year. Because our whole theme for our Sunday morning sermons was on when your children ask, taken from Joshua chapter 4 verses 6 and 7. So you ought to know like the back of your hand what that passage talks about. But here it was, they were at the Jordan, going to the promised land. And there were times not only that the water was parted at the Red Sea, but there was other times when water was parted. And here's another example of it. Here they were at the Jordan, about to go over, and guess what God does? Cuts off the waters of the Jordan. And they're able to cross over. And in doing that, God tells them, He says, you take 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and you set them up. Verse 6 of Joshua 4, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. What were the stones to be? A memorial. When your children ask what you mean by these stones, and you tell them what God has done for you and cutting off the waters of Jordan. But then again, I think about Numbers chapter 15 that I recently used in a sermon. If you got an outline, you need to add an E to the word friends. When you think about that friends that is stated in the book of Numbers chapter 15, we spent a good amount of time on this concept found in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 15. Begin with verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations. Now why on earth put a fringe through it? And that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you a fringe that you may look upon it. Now watch this. Look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes after which you used to go a whore, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Lord, why? Instruct him to put a fringe, a border of blue, a ribbon of blue rather, so that they will see it and remember to keep my commandments. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Don't go based upon what your heart tells you. Don't go based upon what your mind tells you, what you think. Don't go based upon what your eyes tell you you think you're seeing. Go based upon what the Bible says. And I will be well with you for all eternity. I guarantee it. If you'll go with what God says and be faithful to Him. But then you can't help but to think about, as we think about divine memorials, about the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20 and in verse 8. They were to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If I were to ask you, why were they to keep the Sabbath day? What would you say? Well, many people would probably say, because God said so. And if for no other reason, that's a good reason to do it, because God said so. When someone says, why be baptized? Well, God said so. And there's reasons why, other than that, but if for no other reason, God said so, and that settles it whether you believe it or not, right? But why were they to keep the Sabbath day? Well, open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12 again. Verses 12 through 15. You read this and you'll have the answer as to why they were to keep the Sabbath day. 6 days, verse 13, that you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath unto the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor anything of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. Well, why the Sabbath? Keep reading. Remember last week's sermon? Keep reading. Verse 15. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Now when someone says, why did they keep the Sabbath day? You can expound upon because the Lord said it. Because it was a memorial so that they would remember that God brought them out of the land of Egypt. But then I also think about a deed that was done by a particular woman in the city of Bethany that you read about in Matthew chapter 26. Now, if I say Bethany, you probably think about the story of, and I don't mean story as a figment of imagination, the true story, the event of Lazarus, right? Lazarus of Bethany, which was such dear friends of the Lord's, him and his sisters Mary and Martha. And in Matthew chapter 26, notice what the Bible says concerning what a particular woman did at Bethany. In Matthew chapter 26, and in verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, verse 7 now, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath brought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my head, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also be it that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. This woman thought so much about what she's done, she took what could have no doubt, according to what the disciples said, be sold for much money, and she anointed the Lord with it. Be told for a memorial unto her. If I were to ask you, what good things have you been up to lately? As I think about myself first, what could I say? That we are a purchased people, peculiar, supposed to be zealous of good works, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Think about the good works that you read about that so many did in the New Testament, Acts chapter 9, about Dorcas who had passed away, and the Bible says she was full of alms deeds and she passed away, and what were they doing? They were weeping and showing them the things that Dorcas had made. What about it, ladies? At your passing, will people be able to show things that you have done, men alike? Can folks talk about the things that we were busy about doing in this earth life? We need to be zealous of those good works. But as you think about divine memorials, I think about Jude, verse 17, next to the last book in the New Testament. Jude, verse 17, very simple statement that is made as we're thinking about divine memorials. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us keep in memory the words that the apostles penned? But then it gets specific about it. Here's the context of it. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Remember the words of the apostles of the Lord who said that there would be mockers in the last time that would walk after their own lusts. And that set forth before us clearly in 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. That scoffers would come the last time saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. But then He assures them in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 10 that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And then He describes the coming of the Lord. The world will be destroyed and all the works therein shall be burned up. Remember the words of the apostles of our Lord. How that there would be those that would mock. But then also in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I hope you're not tired of hearing some of these divine memorials in set forth in the Bible. As Paul is writing to Timothy, remember, he says, 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Do you remember the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? Three times that statement by the resurrection of Christ is used in the New Testament. He declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, Romans 1, verses 1 through 4. That we have a living or a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus, 2 Peter chapter 1. And then he talks about baptism that also now saves by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 21. Three times by the resurrection. Don't forget that Jesus rose from the dead. Guess what? That can't be said by any man that is the head or the founder of any religious organization on the top side of God's green earth. But the Church of Christ, with the very Son of God as its head and its Savior, rose from the dead the third day. And as a result of that, we can be saved. What about the poor? In the book of Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 10, as you think about things to remember, people's mind over the weekend and tomorrow will be fixated on remembering. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to remember various things in life. And I'm giving you a list of 12 things that we ought to consider and learn from that the Bible sets forth as things that were to be remembered either in the past or for us today. Galatians chapter 2. And in verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which also is forward to do. Don't miss the point when I say this. I will study the Bible with anybody willing to sit down and study. I don't care who they are, where they're from, whatever. Sometimes people allow what they have, tangible things, to stand in between them and seeing the need for God. Seeing the need of salvation. Now, why would I give up my comfortable life and my living to be a Christian, is the thinking of a lot of people. Why would I come to service on Sunday and do the things that you're saying the Bible says that I ought to do? And I've got a good job and I've got all these things, and if I start doing that, I might have to give some of that up. Why on earth would I? Sometimes we need to let go of things and stuff so that we can see as we should. I think about those of Laodicea, the book of Revelation chapter 3, who thought that they were well off, but the Lord said to them, the Lord's estimation of them was, you don't realize that you're poor, blind, miserable, and naked. We need to be careful about stuff. Remember the poor. I'll study with anyone, but I'll tell you what. Many times, poor. The poor, folks who don't have a whole lot of physical possessions, are more apt to clearly and are in a better position to see many times their need for salvation and how just how beautiful heaven is as a result of not having so many things to pamper themselves and surround themselves with in this life. as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6 and then verse 10. Two more points. Remember the words of Christ. Acts chapter 20 and then verse 35. Remember the words of Christ, how He said that it is more better blessed to give than to receive. Do you feel that way? Do I feel that way? That there is a blessedness involved in giving more so than in receiving. Sometimes we might always want to be on the receiving end of things, not remembering the words of the Lord, how He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I encourage all of us, turn loose of things that we don't need. Maybe someone else does. Maybe someone else can get use out of them. Turn it loose and give it to someone. More could be said about that. I think about many times how nothing wrong with parting with what we have to give to places that make it available for other people. I want you to give some thought about that sometime. Sometimes people could benefit from it. They might not have a penny to give. Here it is, you're giving it away anyway. And so think about that the next time. Maybe that you load things up to take to places that would charge people for it. But nonetheless, it's blessed to give. More blessed to give than to receive. My brethren, if any man see if his brother have need and shutteth up his vows of compassion, you know the rest of it? How dwelleth the love of God in him? 1 John chapter 3 and then verse 17. One more point. If I were going to ask you to come up to the board and write a divine memorial on the board, what would you put? I don't have my glass on, but I think I saw one mounted correctly is what I'm thinking of. Maybe more than one. I told you there's a lot in the Bible. But we just observed it. The Lord's Supper. Instituted by the Lord in Matthew chapter 26. And Chris did a good job in reading before we partook of the Lord's Supper. And then expounded on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When Paul talks about it, that this I've received of the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament and my blood. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Why? "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you just show the Lord's death till He comes." Every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming, we are showing, we are setting forth, not only before us, but before others, the fact that Jesus died and rose again. That's what the text says. So in light of that observance of that memorial supper, where were your thoughts just a moment ago? I hope the preacher's not long-winded this morning. I just gave you 12. We could have kept on going. We need to think about that as we worship God in spirit, that is with the right attitude, and according to divine truth, John 4 and then verse 24, that when we observe the Lord's Supper, that our minds need to be fixated on the death of our Lord. Hope that the lesson's been of value to you. There's a lot of other things that are known and worthy to be remembered. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and then verse 23 that all have fallen and come short of the glory of God. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 and 10 that we have all sinned. If any man say that he has not sinned or has no sin, the truth is not in him, makes God a liar. Did you know that, shake or not? I see everybody doing this that's making him move about. So let me ask you this, have you forgotten that? If you're here this morning, not a Christian, have you forgotten the fact that you are in your sin as a result of sin, lost, separated from God? And if you don't take care of that, that
You'll be eternally separated from God. Revelation 20, 12 through 15. Preacher, I remember now that you mentioned it. I'm glad. Why not do something about it? Why not take the opportunity, a beautiful day of life? We've talked about divine memorials. Why not do something about your spiritual condition, that if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage and people gather together to remember you, one of the things that they can say can be, I remember that he obeyed the gospel of Christ. I remember that he was faithful to the Lord, or she. Don't you want people to say that about you? I do. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go. Preacher, what must I do? Hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24. Repent of your sins. Turn from the ways of the world and do what's right. Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. To arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church of Christ by the Lord. Acts 2:47. Preacher, I've done that in the past. The long life's way, I forgot to be faithful to the Lord. I just made the determination I'm not going to do it. So many things I forgot along the way. But I want to come home. I want to be restored and start anew. Why not take care of that by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you. Come right now.